afternoon. Welcome to Why Shamanism Now, a practical path to authenticity with your host, Christina Pratt, director of the Last Mask Center for Shamanic Healing. She's talking about how shamanic skills can bring us to physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being, especially when nothing else can. Now, here's your host, Christina Pratt.
Welcome, everyone, to Why Shamanism Now. I would like to call in the spirits to join us here today to hold us well in our conversation. I call out to the ancestors of our bloodlines, the ancestors of our spiritual traditions, the ancestors that speak to us from all the times and ways that we know ourselves here on this planet. I call out to these ancestors because it is on their shoulders that we stand. And I call out to them because they dreamt of a future, and we are that future. And I hope that in our proceedings here today, we are inspired to live that future even better than it was ever dreamt by those who came before us, and to set up the world in a way that is good for those who are coming. So I thank those ancestors for being with us and bringing all that is good and true and beautiful in our ancestral lines to us, to be with us here today and to hold us well as we go forward. I call out today to the energy of the earth, the energy of nature, the energy of the great spirits of the land, and the energy of the spirit of the planet itself, to be with us here today, to hold us well in this family of humanity, and to help us to know the feeling of home, the feeling of belonging, and the feeling of connectedness that comes as we draw up the energy of this sweet planet on which we all live, and let it infuse our body and help us to know that we are in the right place at the right time. The question we have for you today is, are you doing the thing you are called to do? And when we call to the energy of the earth to support us, each one of us in this, we call out to the energy of above, the energy of the sky realms. We call out by all the names this highest power of the universe is called. We call this energy in to descend into us, to infuse our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our proceedings with inspiration and innovation and creativity, with blessing, with guidance, and with protection. We call in the energy of the earth and the sky, the above and below, to be with us here today and merge with us each in our hearts. And we call out to the energy of the heart to step forward courageously, to be with us here today and connect us all, to draw up the energy of our passion, our true reason for being here, each one of us unique and individual, and call in the energy of the mind that we may grow clear and define our visions and our dreams and merge that with the passion of our body here in our heart, that we know that what we are here to do is good for all living things, and may we find the courage to live it. So we call in to these energies here today to gather around all of us. I thank each of you for joining us here today, and in particular, I give thanks to our guest today. Our guest today says that it is not what we do that heals, but what we allow ourselves to become. Karen Furr is a former member of the Franciscan Sisters of the Poor. She is our guest today, and I want to welcome Karen. Thank you for being with us here today.
Thank you, too. It's delightful to be here.
So our topic today is shamanism and a living relationship with Christ. And what we're really talking about today is how do we reconcile for those who I, in my practice, have found people who are challenged, excuse me, in reconciling their shamanic experiences with their religious experience, and how do we bring these powerful resources in our life together in a good way? So we brought Karen here today to help us with this. Now, before we go too far, and I forget to do all the business end here, I would like to invite everyone to see Karen's website, which is spiritdrum.org, not .com, .org, and to know that Karen has a whole assortment of classes on shamanism and Franciscan shamanism and even teleconferencing classes on her website. And she's also in the process of scheduling for 2010. So if you're one of those people that's interested in sponsoring shamanic work in your area, please contact Karen. You can reach her at her, online with Karen at spiritdrum.org, or you may call her at 928-606-4611. Did I get all the facts right, Karen?
You did.
Okay, we'll come back to that again at the end of the show, but I want you all, if you want to be looking at her stuff online while we're forging ahead, please, you know, that's where you find her, spiritdrum.org. And remind those of your friends and loved ones who might want to hear this show, once you hear it and see what it turns out to be and you think, wow, Bob needs to hear this, remember the show will be available to download in the Voice America website and also in iTunes. So nobody has any excuse not to listen. excuse me. So everyone, let's listen to Karen here for a while. So Karen, one of the things I think is really interesting is, you know, most people don't need to take a vow to do their work. You know, their biggest issue is not to steal the company's paperclips.
Right.
And so if we back up a little bit, what did it mean for you when you originally took a vow into the Franciscan Sisters?
Well, let me go back one more step, in that we all take forms of vows throughout our many lives for a variety of reasons. But the number one vow in each of the lives that we take is the vow to be incarnate, to come into physical reality. And so in that context, vows that I took as a Franciscan sister, they weren't to the sisters. They were to the Creator, to divinity itself. And so it's a reminder of bringing into conscious awareness a state of being that really I came into this physical world as. Now, we talk about the vows of obedience, chastity, and poverty, but there are various levels to those vows, and there's a very surface level. You know, you have to obey Mother Superior, you have to be poor, and you have to not have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you know. Those are very surface interpretations of the vows. But when you start really exploring the cosmic or universal understanding of what is it to be obedient, for instance, and obedience comes from the Latin word to hear, to listen. And so that vow is to listen to the divine within and to respond accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And the vow of poverty, if you take it from a different perspective than you know, a theology of scarcity, you know, we own nothing in this life. We are spirit. We are divine. And anything else added on to that is not ours. So poverty is a recognition of that. Chastity, when we think of it in terms of having a genital encounter, that's a very surface understanding of that vow. Remember, gender identity really is a relatively new phenomenon in this planet when you look at the history of the planet itself. Sex is a relatively late evolutionary reality. But what does it mean to be energized and be in union in a very intimate way with that which we are? So, you know, looking at the vows a little differently than what we tend to understand. Sister Act is not a good representation of religious life, you know.
Well, and most people don't have a chance to even slow down enough to consider the deeper ramifications.
Well, most people don't have those vows, you know,
yeah.
They're not in religious life, so it wouldn't
sure.
hold that significance.
So your life goes on,
mm-hmm.
and so in reflection, what do you feel are the pivotal things that got you, you know, from that place in your life to where you are now?
You know what, I can't say there's really one pivotal place. It's just a steady movement
mm-hmm.
in life. And I, in looking back, and I've done a lot of reflection on this, trying to figure out why was I called to be a shamanic practitioner in the context of Catholic religious life. That was a major question that I worked with throughout the remaining years of my religious life, and even today. But and looking back, I don't think there's any one specific pivotal point.
How do you understand the answer to that question now? I'm sure it keeps evolving as you evolve.
Well, the answer is that Yes, there are bridges that are coming into the world to bridge the old and the new. We're in a major paradigm shift right now. And the paradigm that we are moving into, and I believe that the Earth energetically has already moved in there, but the paradigm that we're coming into is one of oneness. And there are many, many people in the world today who are here to be bridges, to hold that space for us and to help us move into just the ability to think out of boxes. You know, to go beyond what we typically hold as our truth, to be able to just let that go, suspend that, and let this new information of this paradigm come into our conscious awareness.
So what is it about shamanism and its, I don't know, modalities or techniques or whatever, its experiences, that has helped you with this, or what was it that's special about it that moved you in that direction, or continues to move you in that direction?
Yeah, there are a couple important aspects to shamanism that I really recognize as very relevant today. One is that it's a system of direct revelation, and looking at it from a new paradigm perspective of oneness, and the suspension of hierarchy or patriarchy. Direct revelation means for me that when Jesus taught that the realm of the divine and the way it's translated in Scripture is the kingdom of God or the reign of God is within each of us. And he said that many times. He also said, you know, the spirit of God is within each of us. The teacher, the spirit is our teacher, is within us. You know, some of the metaphors he used, you know, like when you pray, go into your closet, which is a great metaphor of our interior world. Go into the closet and there commune with your Father, which was his way of describing God. You know, so it's in Scripture, and in every tradition, every patriarchal tradition in the world has variations of the same theme.
So did you feel shamanism gave you the skills to do that more directly, or...?
Yeah, I really do. I'm not sure that skills would be the right word, but it gave me the open window to re-look at Jesus in my life. Jesus has been a major influence for a number of years. I didn't want to just say, well, sorry, but, you know,
thanks,
but come along. You know.
So we're going to move into a break now, and I know you said there were a couple things, so we'll come back after the break.
Cool.
To this question of what was the real specialness, I guess, or the uniqueness that came out of shamanism.
Okay.
So everybody, I look forward to coming back after the break. Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on the show. We are live today, and as the nice lady just said, you are welcome to call in or to send us emails. Just to create a little bit of context here, we were talking a little bit at the break, and I just wanted to say, you know, just be really out to everyone listening that I'm personally not a religious person. I don't identify that way, that my life requires deep faith, and I'm a deeply spiritual person, but I've never had to walk the path of reconciling my shamanic life with my religious life, but many of my clients and students do. And so I've invited Karen on the show because she can really speak to the challenges and the beauty of pursuing this reconciliation of these really gorgeous, rich aspects of human life. So I also want people to understand that we're speaking today of Christ as a teacher, because that's who Karen happens to have a deep relationship with. However, both of us feel that in this discussion we're honoring teachers who have walked in human form in all faiths, and that whatever we say today is meant to parallel in any tradition out there, that this is really about a human reconciling their spiritual life and their religious life. It's not particularly about Christianity or not about any other religions, that we really want to honor the world religions, their powerful, terrible, beautiful stories that
prepare people to engage with the teachings of the teacher, you know, whoever the teacher is, for that way of looking at the world. And we hold them equally. And though today we're talking specifically about a relationship, because that's what Karen has to speak from. That's what, you know, that's where she can, that's where she's led, that's where she's followed, so she can lead now. And so we're discussing this in particular because many people do feel challenged in reconciling this their religious life, often with the spiritual, well, the shamanic healing that they need. And so we're wanting to explore that path today, to offer people questions that they can chew on and inspiration, hopefully, to, if this is something, to see it as a path, as a direction that's worth walking, not as a wall or a locked door or something, but as an invitation to explore this. So, going back to where we were before the break, Karen was talking about shamanism as a system of direct revelation, which we've talked about on many shows, having a real working relationship with spirit. And as she was going there, she started talking about, you know, her relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what we'd like to explore now is, what is that? What was that? And what is that now for Karen? And how does shamanism give you, Karen, an opportunity to live and express and to kind of be that relationship, that energy?
Yeah, and Christina, listening to you talk, several things came up for me. And so I just want to kind of just move there. One is the difference between religion and spirituality. And I hear a lot of people talking today that, you know, I'm not very religious, but boy, am I have a real spiritual, rich spiritual life. That's a sign of new paradigm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Working relationship with the helping spirits. I've been working intensely with this for the last several months. I asked a good friend and teacher to journey on my behalf, and just because I wanted to know if I was on the right path, doing the right thing, etc. And she came back and said, you know, the spirits don't know what you want. And it got me to really reevaluate what I was trained to, how to relate to divinity, versus what am I really supposed to be about. And when I say I really speak for, you know, what are we as human beings, you know, in the world today, Earth creating herself as human. Mm-hmm. What are we supposed to be doing? And so I went back to the way I had been relating to my understanding of divinity, and it was a very passive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very parent-child.
Yeah.
And we have in our scriptures, in the Christian scriptures especially, we have a very parent-child model, that God is somehow the parent, you know, mother, father, whatever, and we are children. And what the planet needs right now are adults working in partnership.
I'm just kind of snickering because it's the whole force of the four-year training that I do is to create spiritual adults.
Yeah. Even going beyond that a little bit, that when we are, and Sandra Ingerman teaches this in every workshop I've ever been in, you know, the only difference between the helping spirits and us is that we have a body. But we tend to allocate a little more influence, a little more power, a little more whatever to the helping spirits. And in the reality that I'm coming into is that in order for us to move into this new paradigm consciously, we need to accept our role. And part of that acceptance is letting go of this notion that somehow if we sit back and listen to the helping spirits, they'll tell us what to do, and then we'll do it, and we'll be rewarded with, you know, whatever.
Which
and
is still old paradigm thinking.
Yeah, and part of a big shift for me to reconcile, if that's the right word even, my shamanism and my following or listening to Jesus, is reconciling that the only difference between Jesus and me is that I have a body.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to understand that and own that and accept that and really celebrate that.
Well, and understand
and
that
we're taught
it's not
that,
something to
yeah,
get over.
Right.
It's important.
But we're taught in a lot of the Christian belief systems that I've wandered through in my Christian search, we're taught that we can't even approach that question. That somehow we are assuming a role that is not ours to assume. But when we look at Scripture, it's there. And Jesus said, Jesus said near the time when he completely left physical form, you know, greater things will you do. And you know, he was always admonishing the disciples, you know, just get out there and do it. You know, just get out there and do it. It's there. It's in Scripture. The level of trust that we need to have in our relationship with Jesus is the same level of adults to adults. You know, it's not for me, and I'll only speak for me, it's not about waiting for my parent figure to come and do something for me or to give me permission to go do something for someone else.
So as you've
it's
come to this realization in this, like you said, in this recent time frame, how has that changed things for you?
Well, it's changed things tremendously in that, you know, I'm very proactive now in working with the helping spirits. And I do plural. I have many helping spirits.
Mm-hmm.
In the Christian terminology, they may be angels, they may be seraphs, they may be, you know. But I have many helping spirits. And so before I do anything, I talk with them and communicate with them, and I say, "What do you want to bring through with this?"
Mm-hmm.
And then they, in turn, are asking me, "Now, what do I want?"
Mm-hmm.
So they're teaching me how to work in partnership, also. And when you look at moving away from that fear base that says if you make one step out of the dogmatic or the tried and true, then somehow you're wandering into areas that can cause great damage or harm. And I'm moving into a reality that does not acknowledge guilt or fear, because it doesn't need to be there.
So speak some more to that and how that being with those two energies is part of shifting the paradigm.
Well, yeah, it is. Disengaging from those energies helps dissipate those energies. If I hold on to guilt, then I'm perpetuating that energy. If I choose not to engage with that, it can't feed. It has no fuel. And so it will naturally transmute or just diminish. Same thing with fear.
So how did you do that with guilt? A lot of people say, well, yes, but how do I do that?
The practical of it.
Yeah.
That just goes a decision to do that, a decision to change the way my brain works. And I don't know if you've talked about brain plasticity on your show or not, but we do have the capacity to actually change the way our brain works from fear, guilt, whatever, into that freedom, freedom of spirit, which I call. You know, we can actually train our brains to do that.
So for you, was it a one-time decision, or did you...
Oh, it's an ongoing thing. I mean, you know, I don't give my dog a dog biscuit in the morning. I mean, she can throw guilt on me quicker than, you know, fly on molasses, but, you know... The point is, though, it's an ongoing thing. It's more difficult in the beginning to start to change that, but after a while you recognize when guilt wants to, when that energy wants to enter in, you can recognize it and say, no, you know, there's just no room for that.
And has it been much the same way with fear for you?
Fear, yeah, on certain things. I mean, I still fear about my future sometimes, but I'm beginning to realize that the future really doesn't exist yet, so... What's there to be afraid of? Yeah. So I'm working on multiple levels with that concept. But you know, the important thing for me, the important thing in this line is just to recognize, you know, we're amazing creatures. You know, we're Earth creating herself as human. You know, and we just have that amazing ability to bring about a whole new awareness for Earth of herself.
And on that beautiful note, we will go to break and come back to that after these messages,
okay,
I guess. And we'll be back and with Karen Furr. Back, everyone, and thank you again for joining us today. We are speaking today with Karen Furr, and as I promised, I will remind you again that you can find all of her information at spiritdrum.org. spiritdrum.org. So you can find the current classes that are scheduled and look for things in your own area. And if you don't find what you want in your own area, contact Karen, karen@spiritdrum.org, and create something with her. What I'd like to get back to, we've been talking about, well, from my perspective, we've been talking about the power, the spirit power of being a human, that it's not just us as some big old lump of clay here with a bunch of spirit help doing all the work, but that we are spirit incarnate. And how do we activate that spirit within ourselves? And, you know, for me, in my experience, it's been helpful to do that through my relationship with helping spirits, through shamanic practices, much for the same reason you were talking about, which is they taught me how to do it.
Right.
You know, they taught me how to be in partnership and how to understand myself as spirit here in form and why it was important to be a human and not choose to be a tree or a rock or just not be here in form.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand that opportunity and to seize it. And so we've been talking about relationship with spirit on many different levels. But also, there's a theme that's been emerging that I'd like to come back to because it's beautiful, which is this idea of the Earth creating herself as human. So I just want to kind of open things up for you, Karen, and let's look at that a little bit or talk to that a little bit.
Okay. Well, that falls in somewhat of the realm of what's called new cosmology, and it's really not that new. But it's an understanding of the Earth as a living organism. And just as our own bodies, there's no part of our body that's separate from the rest of our body. And we don't, you know, hair is not in relationship to being on the body. It's just part of the body. So when we take the concept of Earth as a living organism in the greater context of life itself, but if we take it in that context, then we are Earth, no less or no more than you know, a redwood tree is Earth, the ocean is Earth, rocks are Earth, air is Earth, the elements are Earth. And it helps us move away from that egoic need to feel separate or to be separate. And so every workshop I teach practically, I also insert some information about how do we see ourselves in relationship to Earth. And always bring in that we are Earth creating herself as human. And, you know, Brian Swim is a physicist, and he writes a lot about this. But, you know, when we contemplate our relationship to the sun, for instance, and how the sun gives us life and all this, the Earth herself is doing that contemplation. So as a reflection, makes a great meditation. Earth herself is becoming aware of her relationship to the rest of the universe. Now, is that cool? And in this time, this tremendous shift that we're going through, Earth is reawakening or awakening to the reality that she is not just a single little entity, but she's in relationship with the rest of the universe. And then when she contemplates her relationship energetically with the sun and how the sun created her and gave her life and continues to sustain her and continues, there's a, in the Christian way of understanding it, there's an incredible giving of self that's going on the part of the sun. And we get that from the sun. And it's unconditional love. Earth herself is discovering unconditional love. And what's happening is, just as anybody that we're working with who finally comes to an understanding that, yes, I am worth something, they start reevaluating how they live their lives. And so they start cleaning up their lives a bit. Well, Earth is doing the same thing. And so it's becoming inappropriate to strip mine, to clear cut, to pollute the oceans. We are to clear cut the rainforest. You know, we're coming into that conscious awareness as humans, but that's Earth herself also coming into that conscious awareness.
So what are the, I don't know, the main themes or qualities that you're sensing in this shift of paradigm, this coming into a new consciousness?
I'm not sure if there's multiple themes except that, you know, everything changes. You know, we are one. There is no separation. And we're coming to realize that. And I coined a phrase years ago, hell hath no fury than dysfunction revealed. And when you think of it from an egoic state, when we start understanding our oneness, our ego really kicks in and does a number to try to keep us separate. And I really believe that's what's happening in the world today. A lot of what's happening in the world today is that there's so much struggle out there to stay separate when everything around us and within us is telling us that there is no separation. So we're in this time of immense chaos, beautiful, beautiful chaos. And it can be quite confusing. It can be very scary if we look at it from an egoic place and not from this new paradigm perspective.
So what could you offer people, just on a really practical level, like the people listening today, to, if they're finding themselves in that struggle, and now all of a sudden you've named it for them, what could they do? What simple thing could they begin to do today to be able to
I really believe that most people in the planet today, you know, at some level are feeling that chaos. If not in just getting basic needs met to the, you know, the deeper reflections on what's going on. The most practical thing I can suggest is, you know, Jesus said, I came to set you free. You know, I didn't come to change the law, whatever. I came to set you free. And to just let those windows open. I mean, we're struggling with what are the questions, much less having all the answers. But we're coming into a time where, you know, a whole new set of questions are starting to emerge within us. And they're of the nature that some of these old structures that we've relied on for centuries just don't work anymore. And so I think that if we can just allow ourselves to let that door open and not be afraid of what's on the other side. You know,
so what most helps you to do that in your life, the allowing and letting the door open?
Some people say stubbornness. I just think this, I've always had this tremendous love of wonder and mystery. And I cannot think of a time in my life when I was uncomfortable with mystery. And even living in a culture that is very uncomfortable with mystery. So what has helped me is to maintain that curiosity and that love of exploration, and an intrepid exploration. You know, we're taught so often in our culture to shut down and be afraid and not step out. And, you know, it's in the stepping out, it's in taking the risk that, you know, freedom actually happens. And yes, there are consequences. There are always consequences to everything we do. Consequences are not a bad thing. But if we can just move out of this trance that wants to hold us in place and hold us in our egos and hold us in our fear, if we can do whatever we can to step out of that trance, and I call it wake up, just to let new information come in, and just let it come in. And then, you know, trust the intuition. If you resonate with it, you know, if what I'm saying today resonates, then that means that that awareness is already there. I'm just reminding someone. You know, the knowledge, is the awareness, the consciousness is already there. If it resonates, it's all right. You know, it's all right. I went through an 8-day retreat once trying to, you know, overcome my fear of going to hell when I decided to join a justice movement back in the 70s. I mean, it can get that strange. But fear is a major crippler. And we don't have to worry about eternal life. We are eternal. We don't have to worry about going to hell. We don't have to worry about going to heaven. We don't have to worry. All we need to do is let the windows open, because they're opening anyway. And if something is resonating with us, explore it. Go there. Because, you know, like I said earlier in your broadcast, that we're in a time now that we're the bridges. We're not supposed to be the anchors or the you know, the land masses. We're the bridges right now. And we sway with the wind a little bit so that we don't come crashing down. But we allow for the movement back and forth. And eventually, you know, we'll come up with the right answers or the right questions or the, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the religions of the future are. Eventually that'll evolve. But right now, our task is to be in this chaos and be in it with our own integrity and without fear and with confidence. You know, how much time do I have on this section? Because I have something I wanted to...
Well, we'll come back.
Okay.
After this break, we'll come back. And I want to thank everyone for listening. And please join us for our last segment.
Great.
And we are live. You're still welcome to call in or send an email. Welcome back, everyone. Today we're speaking with Karen Furr. Find her at spiritdrum.org. So just before this break, Karen was talking about how at this time it is important for us to begin to understand ourselves as bridges and not anchors. So I thought I'd let Karen continue with that interesting image.
Okay. You know, bringing that back into the context of Jesus and shamanism, you know, one thing that shamanism gives me the capacity to do is to understand that there is more to existence, more to reality, if that's the right word, than just what I call 3D, you know, the five senses, the physical world. And, you know, through a shamanistic understanding of my Jesus walk, I move in multiple realms, but also I'm very aware that these multiple realms are just one realm, you know, and that can get confusing, but it really did allow me to take that step into recognition that I'm not subject to a spirit world activity, because I'm not bound to just the physical realm. And I think, you know, Jesus was pretty clear on that too. I mean, he talked about he actually transfigured on numerous occasions, but he talked about being that light. You know, we are the light of the world. Don't hide our light under a bushel basket. I mean, using the metaphorical language of his day, you know, let ourselves shine. Let ourselves be who we truly are, because that brings that into conscious awareness. And that's Earth, like I said earlier, that's Earth also bringing that into conscious awareness. But, you know, the whole issue of being a bridge, it can get scary. I mean, we have an economy that wants us to stay home and not spend a dime and, you know, worry. We have world events that would teach us to be fearful of people of other faiths or backgrounds. You know, there's a lot going on that's trying to keep us in this state of separateness. And like we were talking earlier, it's really important to recognize that it's just the ego trying to prevent us from moving authentically into this new understanding of who we truly are. But before I called in today for this, I asked the helping spirits what they wanted to bring through in this interview. And I do this for everything that I do when I do workshops, when I do classes, when I work with clients. I always say, what do the helping spirits want to bring through? And I wanted to share, in the time that we have left, I wanted to share what the helping spirits are saying at this time. And what they said was to bring this. And this is for all of us. You know, we are loved. You know, said, you are loved. There's nothing that can take that away or change it. The origins of that love is within each one, and it informs every cell of our body. Remember this, there is separation only in how you see your life, and that's all. It's only there. Remember the oceans as a metaphor for who you are. Isn't that neat?
Mm-hmm.
Learn three things, love, compassion, and honor. And they said love, that true binding energy that holds no limits to its possibilities. And compassion is not a feeling, but a state of being that allows for true being. An honor to recognize that all is sacred, even the explorations that are happening now, the spiritual explorations. Hold no fear of opening a door. It is yours to open, and the door would not have appeared to you if it were not of sacredness. Have no fear about this. This is a moment you've known about for a long time, and you're prepared to walk in new ways. Hold the confidence that you have within you, the knowledge capacity and capacity for the path you are on. We are with you. Now that comes from the helping spirits. That when you look, if you take that and go back to scripture, it's all the same thing. The messages that we're getting today from our helping spirits are the same messages that we're getting all along. The only difference, you know, fear can really do a number on, you know, working in partnership with the helping spirits. So people are taught a fear of Jesus or a fear of God, and it need not be that. You know,
we've talked in past episodes about how, in many ways, all of these fears end up taking root in the fear of separation.
Yeah.
And if we simply open our hearts to what I believe we all know on a cellular level, which is the oneness, the mm-hmm. connectedness of everything,
mm-hmm.
Then there really isn't, we have to work really hard then to get back to fear, you know, to really make that up to get there. And so,
yeah,
I
well, that's,
really
that,
like
that's
to just,
changing that brain pattern, that's
yeah.
changing the brain thing.
So I want to go back to what you and the Spirit said, which is the beautiful message to take from today is to just do something today that is you in love. Do something today that is you in compassion. And
yeah.
something today that is you expressing honor.
Mm-hmm.
And to hold these three things. And perhaps you could, you know, each of you listeners could hold these three things for a week and see where you are next Wednesday when we listen again. They are
yeah.
not only beautiful, clear, powerful messages in this moment today, but as Karen has said, they've been telling us this for years.
And also, I would like to add to that, you know, it's not what we do. We don't go do love or do compassion or do honor. We are these things.
Mm-hmm. And we need to express
them. We are these things. And all we need to do is remember who we are.
And express
just remember who we are, and it will express itself.
So, Karen, I'd like to thank you for being with us here today.
Well,
and I'd
you.
Like to thank everyone who has been listening here today to this conversation and everyone who will through the downloads. So please, everyone, feel free to share. If you're inspired by today's conversation, share this with your friends and loved ones. The show will be available for you at the Voice America website on my page there by tomorrow. And is available through iTunes as well in about the same time frame. I'd also like to thank all of the helping spirits that have come through here today in all of the messages that have been shared, for the helping spirits that are joining all of you in your lives, whether you're paying attention to them or not.
Mm-hmm. this dialogue to email me. And you know,
that is
share your information too, because we learn together. And I would appreciate hearing from folks.
And Karen's email is karen@spiritdrum.org.
Thank you.
So I'd also like to thank the ancestors, the earth below, the sky above, and the heart that unites us all for holding us in this conversation here today. Please remember that you are welcome to send us a quick email and let us know you'd like a weekly reminder to the show. It's just one little email once a week reminding you and giving you the links to make it easy to get to the show. For any more information about my work and my classes, the Encyclopedia of Shamanism, or any of that stuff, you're welcome to go to my website, which is lastmaskcenter.org. And again, Karen's website is spiritdrum.org. We thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Karen. And everyone, remember, you are love.